Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a full house for you here this morning. First, let me introduce Andy Cohn, who, besides our regular... Before I introduce you, Andy, team here, we've been overtaken by high school and college students. And you'll meet them in just a minute. But first, let me introduce Andy Cohn, who has been out of college for a long time. Have you, Andy?
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Today's a great day for Andy Cohn. Counselor Magazine was just recognized, we found out, with a national award from the American Society of Business Publication Editors investigative journalism.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Andy, that's very impressive.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
And where did you go to college, Andy?
I went to Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Lovely Poughkeepsie. In New York.
With the girls.
It was an all-girls school.
Joe Haley is here today, and I believe he went to college right here in the good old state of Pennsylvania,
Joe? Yes, I did. Lock Haven University.
All right. And, of course, we have Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine. Kath, I think you graduated from college about the year that 99 Loof Balloons was popular.
99.
Is that right?
Yep. Don't make me sing.
Don't.
Finally, Michelle Bell is here. Michelle went to school in Philly, didn't you, Michelle?
I did. I went to Temple University.
All righty. We also have Steve Hawk here manning the tech booth. Steve went to some sort of beer making school, I believe. And answering the phone this morning is Samantha Bass. Samantha, did you go to phone answering school?
I did, at Penn State.
She did, at Penn State. Samantha will be taking your calls today at 215-953-4979. Today's topic, can I afford it? You call us with any investment dilemmas you have. Maybe you're wondering if you could afford a new computer system or a new staff member, and we'll tell you whether or not we think you can afford to make the purchase right now. As always, if we put you on the air, we will send a $25 Visa gift card your way. Finally, we have some special guests in the studio this morning, as I mentioned. We have two interns from the Dow Jones Journalism Internship Program, Sarah and Haley, whose first day is today. Welcome, Haley. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
We also have Warner, who is spending some time with ASI this summer, learning how the business works. And Warner, you are a high school student, correct?
Yes.
Well, glad to have you guys here. Welcome. Joe, tell us what's on tap for today's show.
We have a full agenda, Melinda. According to the survey of leading economists, the recession is set to end in...
2009.
2009, right, Kathy. Dial us up at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com if you're unsure if you can afford to make business improvements, and we'll dish you some good advice. Kathy has a look at motivating employees in tough economic times. Here's news. Branded jerseys with corporate logos are coming to the WNBA. What is a warmer, fuzzier, refreshed logo? Well, our own Captain Killjoy has the scoop on that one.
I'll ruin that story.
Okay. When they made her, they broke the mold, so she's the perfect person to offer up three tips to building a personal brand.
Must be Michelle.
That would be Michelle. Aww. Too many people have a difficult time getting back into the grind following a vacation, so Kathy has some ideas on how to ease back into the workplace. Let there be marketing. How churches are getting religion on marketing. What are the seven habits of highly defective managers? Andy?
Yeah, we're going to cover that.
Okay.
Are you saying Andy is a highly defective manager?
Most definitely.
No, I just thought that he would know. And Kathy will let you know what the 15 personal skills you will need on the job. If they have time, I might have something to rant about today. But first, the industry news. Andy.
Thank you, Joe. In an all-cash deal, Illini has acquired the inventory and marketing rights of fellow supplier firm PromoLights. The deal effectively marks the exit of PromoLights from the ad specialty market, as it will now focus on its retail efforts. For the remainder of 2009, PromoLights will stay a separate line within the Illini operation. In 2010, Illini will merge the PromoLights line with its own. Paul Sirota, the founder and president of supplier firm Promo Card Services, suddenly passed away last week at his home in Miami Beach. A funeral service was held over the weekend. Sirota was 54. In a deal that was originally reported 2 weeks ago, Fayline has finalized its acquisition of Reflectix. Fay is now transitioning Reflectix manufacturing and customer service from the company's previous headquarters in Pennsylvania to Fay's operation in Minnesota. Fay says that this transition will occur over the next several months, but it is immediately representing the Reflectix line of products. Plus, in Promogram later today, we'll have our newest hot edition episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what might you be looking at?
Things that are muy caliente.
Ooh, very hot.
I won't be doing it in Spanish, though.
that's a good thing.
I think that would make it more interesting.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks very much, Andy. All right, guys, let's start off with some fabulous news. Apparently, the end of the recession is in sight, and our financial diva, Michelle Bell, is going to tell us more. And Michelle, you've got to explain the red eye, please. Michelle has one eye that's completely red.
I do. I was
bar fight.
I was at a bar this weekend and was right, laughing though. So hard over a story that I sneezed, laughed, and coughed all at the same time and blew a blood vessel.
Oh my god!
So as Joe says, I look more like the devil than usual.
It's obviously a tough combination, I guess.
So if you sneeze, have to laugh, cough. Don't sneeze and cough.
Did you try not to? Yes.
Great. Tell us about the recession, Michelle.
Well, the economy is showing signs of stabilizing, and the recovery will be more moderate than is typical following a severe downturn, said the National Association for Business Economics in an outlook in a report released on Wednesday. The panel of 45 economists said it expects economic growth will rebound in the second half of 2009. Almost 3 out of 4 of the survey respondents expect the recession will end by the third quarter, but 19% predicted that a turnaround won't come until the fourth quarter, while 7% said it may not come until early 2010. But none of the panelists expected the recession to continue past the first quarter of next year, which is good news.
That's definitely good.
That's great news.
We've just been joined by our publisher, Rich Fairfield. What do you think about the economic news, Rich?
I think that we've heard similar comments from our suppliers and distributors that they think that some budgets are easing for the second half,
yep,
and that their businesses are doing better, say, in May than they did the first quarter of the year.
Also, this is good news. Obtaining long-term and short-term financing, while still difficult, 90% of the respondents said that the actions from the Federal Reserve, have helped to ease the credit crunch. Do you think that's the case, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, those economists think so, but I must agree with them.
Well, and Andy, I know that the SBA has recently enacted some new small business lending programs that will probably be a stimulus as well.
Yeah, there have definitely been some steps taken by the government that will open up credit and allow some financing to happen for small and large businesses. So, yeah, there is some good news, and I think that that will help spur the growth in the second half of the year.
Well, some positive economic news.
Oh, I was just going to ask, is the thinking that all that federal stimulus money that the banks got, you know, maybe 6 months ago, it just took all this time to kind of make its way through the system then?
I think it's partially that and some changing of lending rules from the Small Business Administration that they lessened some of the restrictions that were on those rules.
Great. Well, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we'll start taking your calls to help you decide if you should move forward with any expenditures you're contemplating. Start dialing us now at 215-953-4979.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are taking your calls right now. The question of the day, can I afford it? If you're contemplating an expenditure right now, whether it's a small one, like a new fax machine, or a biggie, like upgrading to a big new office, call us first at 215-953-4979, and we'll help you decide if the investment is a smart one. If we put you on the air, we will send you a $25 gift card, and we have Armand on line 3. Good morning, Armand.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Listen, before I ask my question, Michelle, can you post pictures of your red eye? I mean, you can't just tease us like that.
I'll see what I can do there.
Yeah, we'll
Armand.
Get some pictures up there. Yeah,
maybe you can do like something where you blink. It's red, it's white.
Yeah. That'd be cool for your blog. Anyway, here's my deal. I pretty much had it using my spare bedroom as an office. You know, I just have too many boxes, samples from shows, that sort of thing. So my question is, should I stick it out and stay or look for office space somewhere?
Good question. It's one that a lot of distributors just starting out often ask themselves. I think we probably have to ask you some questions first before we decide. First of all, I guess, how much cash do you have on hand?
You know, I'm doing okay. You know, I've been in the business for a few years. You know, I think that I could probably, pay 3-4 months right up front for an office. So my worry is, you know, the economy down the line. You know, I could stick it out now and you know, have that capital. But, by the end of the year, what if things don't go well?
Well, I think that that's something really to look at, because we often suggest to people that are looking to move into an office that they have about 6 months worth of their sort of revenues on hand as cash before they take on the extra expense. I mean, that's an expense that you can't suddenly get rid of. So you're going to have, you know, overhead ready, at the ready to be able to do that. I also think you have to look at all of your expenses and know that when you're moving into an office, it's not just the rent, but it's you know, you got to keep the lights on and
sure.
and everything else that goes with that. So you have to make sure that you have the cash to cover.
I have another question too: is why are you looking for an office? Is it going to be just a nice luxury, or do you have a legitimate reason for needing one?
I'd like to take clients to an office. You know, I mean, you know, right now I take clients out to restaurants. You know, my best clients, but I think it would help my business a little bit if I had a place, you know, where I could have clients over and really kind of meet them face to face more often.
Well, and one thing in this economy is, as Rich said, I think last week, is that now's the time to negotiate really good rates. I think
yeah, that's what
rates.
I was wondering if he's mm-hmm. going to get a deal, because it may be that he's in an area where they're, you know, almost the entire United States mm-hmm. office rents are at a low.
Yeah, now is the time probably for to get something yeah. to get a good deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I can certainly look around, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would look around. It seems like you have a good reason. I'd like to see if you had, you know, maybe 5 or 6 months of capital on hand.
Okay.
But once you reach that, I think it's...
And it may take a month or two to negotiate the right rate, too.
That's true.
You know, find the place.
All right, so I guess we've semi-approved your expenditure.
Okay. I appreciate that, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, stay on the line for your Visa gift card. We have Lori, a distributor, on line one. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Tell us what you're looking to buy.
I am currently running a small company that's been in business for about a year, and I'm handling all of the operations, including sales. It's becoming a lot of work, and I'm not sure I can keep it up, especially if I want my business to grow to the next level. I've considered hiring a salesperson, but I'm not really sure I can afford it. Any advice?
Well, I'm just wondering, do you really need a salesperson, or do you need a customer service kind of back-end office person?
I'm not sure. Someone to help with administrative duties wouldn't be helpful.
It sounds like you really need somebody to do all the stuff that you don't want to do.
The day-to-day operations.
And that you're probably the best at sales then, and that you would be the salesperson and hire someone to do your office work.
That's a good idea.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I guess I'd also look at whether you can afford not only the salary of the person, but, you know, expenses like taxes and healthcare costs, insurance, and any supplies that person would need. And I would definitely, consider all that before deciding whether you can afford it.
Okay.
Also, I would look at your options. Look at, you know, local colleges and universities for internship-type programs.
Yeah, that's true.
You can also look for part-time employees, too. Maybe it's a working mom or a working dad. Who's taking care of the kids at home and just looking for a couple hours a day.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I would also, since you're obviously a woman-owned business, I would look at your local community for, like, small business classes that they run targeted towards women's companies, because sometimes they give classes and seminars on, you know, how to look at numbers and how to look at finances and see if you can afford certain things that you want to, you know, achieve your business goals.
Oh, that would be a good help.
And a lot of them are free. I know people who've
that's
taken
even better.
Them.
Well, good luck, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, guys.
On line two, we have Dawn, another distributor. Good morning, Dawn.
Morning. How are you?
Good. What are you looking to purchase, Dawn?
Well, I run my own small distributorship, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions for how I can find an inexpensive office, graphic design, or tech support.
Okay, well, someone already made the suggestion of an intern. I know that we've talked to lots of distributors over the years who have found great success hiring college interns.
Yeah, I think the best place to go is local colleges. You know, they're looking,
especially recent grads. I mean, mm-hmm. this summer, you know, new graduates are going to have a hard time getting a job. I think they would probably welcome.
It's an especially good time to look that way. Especially if you're talking about like technology help and things like that, mm-hmm. they're going to really help you out.
Great. What about older people that have recently retired but maybe still, you know, they still want to work a couple hours a week,
yeah.
maybe to help with accounting and some office services like that?
That's great.
Yeah, that's true. We recently laid off people, too, from, like, the tech business,
yeah,
tech industry.
Now is a good time to
definitely.
Be hiring.
And a lot of people that had decided to retire, but then their portfolio is down 40%,
right,
so
exactly.
then now they're thinking that they need to re-enter workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you.
All right. Good luck, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks so much.
All righty. Well, we have heard the recession is almost over, but that does not mean our audience members aren't facing tough times right now. Now, we're always saying it's important to keep employees motivated, even during a down economy. And Kathy has some tips to do this.
Yeah, that's right. Despite shrinking revenues and unrelenting expenses, the analysis by the Incentive Marketing Association shows that employees are still the biggest contributing factor for success or failure in the drive to do more with less. And the IMA finds that as today's executives wrestle with sustained economic uncertainty, they need to hold fast to the idea that engaged employees can set their firm apart, which is really true. And even though raises and bonuses have all but disappeared, they want to help employers understand that non-cash recognition, such as Ed Specialties, can still be a very powerful employee motivator. So the IMA is suggesting that employers consistently, on a consistent basis, reward employees for their behavior and keep them involved and keep them loyal to the company, because they're a big factor in the business's success.
That's great. You know, I was at a conference last month, Recognition Professionals International, right. And a lot of big companies, including Disney and United, are not cutting back at all on their incentive programs, even though the companies themselves are struggling for
that
reason.
Right. And it doesn't even have to be that expensive, the incentives.
Right.
And it could be at varying price points depending on what the employees are being rewarded for.
Well, I think that they understand right now that specifically this is the time to build loyalty among your workforce.
Absolutely.
You know, people are, there's not a lot of jobs out there right now, so maybe they're not looking immediately, but as the economy turns around and the employment picture looks a little bit better,
yeah, they're going to remember how well they were treated.
Exactly.
You know who's always been good at that? Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
And I know that when other airlines employees have gone on strike, I mean, Southwest are remarkably loyal to the company because they just run such good motivation and incentive and loyalty
programs. And they're part owners in the company as
That's
well.
Right. Yeah. And our listeners can download the entire white paper at incentivemarketing.org.
Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
We have another caller on line one. Nicole, a distributor from Brooklyn, is calling. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Nicole, what's your question?
It's not really a can I afford it. I believe I can. It's just that I would rather get your opinion as if it was really worth it or not. I have a small company, but it's profitable. I do chocolates, ribbons, and stuff for parties, and I wanted to make up a brochure and send it to probably like my best 50 customers, detailing and explaining all my products with maybe a coupon or two, $25 off your first order or so. And I got some quotes here and there on the brochures. You know, if I do different inks, you know, it lowers the price. If I do, you know, different qualities of paper, it lowers the price. So I think I could afford it, but I just don't know if it's worth it.
Have you tried doing something electronically first, send it out like an e-newsletter or an e-marketing piece?
I did do something electronically, yes.
I mean, one area that we talk about a lot is the importance of marketing, especially in a down economy. So I would almost always say when effective, marketing is a good investment.
Yeah, I would just evaluate the cost that you think it would take to do something like that, is including the, you know, postage and mailing efforts, and then determine, you know, what sort of sales you would need back or how many leads you would need back from that, and, you know, how much revenue you would need to cover it, and then you could get a little ROI equation going. And
I guess
determine.
My only question is, if you're going to create this brochure, though, why just make 50? I think probably for little more cost, you could do even more.
Yeah, you get
really?
You pay on it probably if you go a little higher. Yeah.
Or for a little more cost, you can include a sample in it of your product, and that always bumps up the return or the response.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Well, good luck, Nicole. Thanks, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, let's talk sports for a minute. It was only a matter of time, but branded jerseys are now making their way into the WNBA. Joe, what's the scoop, since you're our big basketball guy?
Yes, that's right. At 5'4", I'm reaching new heights. The WNBA's Phoenix Mercury. Did anyone know that the Mercury played in Phoenix?
Yes.
Well, it is hot there.
Okay, I did not know that.
Warner, did you know that? Warner.
I didn't. Okay, so I don't follow the sport. They are their new jerseys are sponsoring a logo from LifeLock, who has traditionally sponsored NASCAR with an event and also some drivers. So this is something new for this country. The big question is, will it infiltrate what they're calling the major sports, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL?
Wasn't there a big flap recently? Was it hockey uniforms where they overdid it with the corporate sponsorships?
Hockey. There was actually Adidas doesn't have its logos on any of the jerseys that they sponsor for the major sports league, but Reebok does. Reebok has them on the back of the NHL jerseys, and I think they're also sponsoring Major League Baseball, some of those teams. But this is not uncommon over in Europe. Professional soccer teams over there, everyone has a shirt sponsorship. And the big news coming out of England is that for next season, Manchester United, one of the most recognized teams in all sports, it's like the New York Yankees of Premiership soccer, does not have a shirt sponsor yet.
That's because AIG was the sponsor, right?
That's right.
You know what I don't like is these stadiums that keep changing the names.
Because
you can't follow who the stadium is?
Three Com Park.
No, well, like in New Jersey, they had, it was like the Continental Airlines Arena. Now it's like the IZOD
Arena.
The
IZOD Center.
Like,
and they had the Tweeter Center. Now it's Susquehanna Bank.
Like the Hormel Center next
Well, as soon as another the Hormel Center. As soon as another company
agrees to pay more. What about the Waste Management Center?
But isn't that bad branding for the actual center to just change its name?
The center doesn't care. They're getting paid.
They don't care.
They want money.
They're actually getting money. But
I don't like it.
Right now, sport marketers are saying this is kind of a risky move in this economy, a risky move for companies to be aligning themselves with, you know, something that could be seen as frivolous, a sports team. So they're spending their money a little wiser or careful.
Isn't that why some companies have canceled their sponsorships with NASCAR drivers?
I think that they've canceled it just so that they don't have to
pay. They don't have any money.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have the money. And then when they do have it, a friend of mine works for a pharmaceutical company, and his company dropped their Yankees tickets because where they were, they've been priced out. They were those $2,500 mm-hmm. seat tickets. And even they can't justify paying for them.
Well, there's also an image thing to those because they can get seen on TV, and then with the way things spread, way news spreads, and suddenly there's five executives from the same company spending $10,000, you know.
Yeah. It's empty. Yeah. I mean,
speaking of branding, let's talk about corporate logos, because I think corp logos are undergoing a renovation. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah, a lot of big Fortune 500 companies have redone their logos. Companies such as Walmart, Kraft, Pepsi, Amazon.com even, they've redone their logos over the past few months. And the
Walmart,
look is
Walmart's new logo out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it used to be big block letters. Right. Now they're small letters. And that's part of the idea of warmer, fuzzier logos that these companies are now showing.
We know you're appropriate then that you're talking about this story.
Right, because I'm quite warm and fuzzy.
The lowercase? Is that what you said?
Lowercase, yeah.
Oh, why
did Walmart went from, it was W-A-L-M-A-R-T, all block letters. Now just the W is large cap, and the other words are
Why
lowercase.
Do they want them to be warm and fuzzy? What's the point?
The idea is during difficult times to cozy up to consumers or cozy up to customers a little bit. So there's happier colors, brighter colors, lowercase letters. There's friendly flourishes, as an article in the Times are saying. That's right.
All right. So if distributors are working with clients and helping them with new logos, think warm and fuzzy, mm-hmm. I guess.
Not necessarily fuzzy. Literally.
Well, we talk a lot about brands on this show, and today Michelle is going to tell us how distributors and suppliers can brand themselves.
Well, I think it's important in a competitive economy to set yourself apart from your competitors by building your own brand. And you can do that through a variety of ways, and there's three I'm going to talk about. Two I think are good. One, I don't so much believe in myself, but I suppose it works for some people, so let's start there. With using online social networking. The bane of my existence.
That's the one you're really behind, right?
Yeah,
you're pushing for that.
But here's a really good example. This woman, her name is Beverly Shepherd, she posted a reward of $6,000 on LinkedIn for help in landing a new job after a newspaper eliminated her position. And because of that, she was flooded with leads and publicity, and she got a new job. Because, you know, LinkedIn reaches 40 million people. So she posted a reward, and people did help her find a new job. So, you know.
Did she pay the reward?
She did. Okay. She did. Much as I find it annoying, apparently it is a good networking tool for some people.
Wonder, do you have a Facebook page? He does. How about you, Sarah? Do you have one? And Haley? Do you have a Facebook page?
Sorry.
Sorry. Do you have a Facebook page?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so all of our youngsters here have one, so
including
they must
me.
Be on to something.
Yeah, youngsters and Joe.
Our oldest youngster.
The next thing is position yourself as an expert, and you can do that by offering to speak at different events. You can offer to do that, for example, in this industry by being ready and available to be a resource to be quoted by an editor. If you position yourself as an expert, then you come off with more credibility and more respect you garner through the industry that you're speaking to.
Right.
And lastly, you can network through associations. And that just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort to really get out there and make make it a point to attend meetings, make yourself visible, and really network and, you know, offer to help them.
Now that's got to be advice that you really believe in, because you're actually a really master networker.
I am. I would rather network face-to-face than tweet.
How many Christmas cards do you send to industry people? Seriously.
About 500.
Yeah,
handwritten.
I mean, I've
yep.
seen it. It's like a 2-month-long project.
But, you know, it pays off because people, you know, they like it and they remember
and
it.
They and they know you.
They do.
You're the brand Michelle.
Guess how many Christmas cards I send out.
Oh boy.
Zero.
That's right.
And well,
you're
I bet
Jewish.
Your wife sends out something.
Holiday cards, whatever.
You're Jewish. That is a good point. All right, is anyone here going on vacation? Raise your hand if you're going on vacation this summer. Anyone? Warner, no vacation? Rich, no vacation?
Not planned yet.
But you will go somewhere.
Somewhere.
Martha's Vineyard, perhaps. Well, we all know that coming back to work after having some fun in the sun can be stressful. So today, Kathy's going to give us some tips. And you are the right person to give us tips.
You know, I hate coming back to work after vacation. Yeah, it's true.
You hate coming back to work on Monday.
Well, that's after a weekend.
Does she even come in on Monday?
Her whole life is a vacation.
No, hush up. You all hush up. Okay.
All right, so give us some tips.
There's
on how
some
to
tips for the rest
in.
Of you. Prepare before you leave. You should assign tasks to colleagues. Joe, when I go on vacation, I'm assigning you all my tasks. Before you jet off on your vacay. This way, when you come back, you won't be overwhelmed. And greenliving.suite101.com suggests cleaning your house and desk before you leave. Because if you come back to a clean environment, you'll feel less stressed out.
I actually subscribe to that one.
Yes, I love that idea. Also, consider taking an extra day off of work to unwind before you come back. Like if you're planning your vacation from Monday to Monday, take off Tuesday. So you unwind at home before you get back.
I need to talk to you Monday after.
Secondly, take it slow. It says no one expects a whirling dervish on the first day back from vacation, except for Rich. Or even the first week back. Yeah, so taking time.
That's not practical.
Oh, also.
It's not. You get thrown into the fire as soon as you return.
When you come back from vacation, how busy is it?
Extremely.
It's as busy as
it can. When you come back from the weekend, it's so busy.
Well, it's a nice idea, Kathy.
Nice idea, Kathy.
Okay, that's a nice idea. Get real. Also, thin out your email before you come back to work.
That is a good one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Or do it on vacation when you have your BlackBerry glued to your hand like
I don't do that.
Well, that's crazy.
No, but I believe in, you know, a day or two before coming back to work or even the night you get home,
yeah,
just going through
you know,
your
when
email.
You get back to work and you have a million emails and you're like, what?
No, I'll
Rich,
buy that
do you check
one.
Your email on vacation?
Not a real vacation.
No.
I mean, maybe like a short vacation, I might check it once or
but
twice.
If you went away for a week, you wouldn't be on your email every day.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And lastly, plan
because that would make it not a vacation.
That's right. Plan your next vacation. It says you just got back, but don't go asking your boss for more days just yet. However, you could plan a long weekend sometime in the near future, and that'll make you feel like you still have something to look forward to.
And where are you going on vacation this summer, Kath?
Ocean City, Maryland.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. And where is your next vacation?
Yeah.
It's going to be Hawaii.
Oh, good
Let's
for you.
Say.
That's a weekend in Hawaii.
That's then. Right. A long weekend.
Perfect.
Michelle, I think we made you go on a forced vacation the summer before last.
You did. You
we
did
had an intervention, it. Including her
she
mom.
She was having a breakdown.
She was in her office holding her breath.
All right. Well, here's an interesting hot market for distributors, churches. Joe,
churches.
Please enlighten us.
Churches are getting religion on market. Organized religion is having a difficult time getting some attention from their flock because more than ever, people are saying that they have no religion or they affiliate with no specific church. 46% of people ages 18 to 34 consider themselves to have no religion, according to the American Religious Identification Survey conducted by the Institute for Study of Secularism in Society and Culture at Trinity College. That's a mouthful.
Wow, I'll say.
So it's like brand loyalty should not be confused with a lack of faith, however. That is the nuns who say they have no specific religion that they're following. Aren't necessarily non-believers, just non-churchgoers. Michelle, I didn't see them there on Sunday. Again.
You're not talking about the N-U-N nuns, right? You're talking about the N-O-N-E nuns?
The nuns, yes. The people who have no...
I was thinking, wow, the nuns have lost their religion. That was like a big crisis. I'm sorry, I'm just...
The people who have no affiliation.
Yes, Sister Christine was there at Mass on Sunday.
So churches could basically use some marketing help is what this
Absolutely. United Methodist Church launched a $20 million campaign.
Wow.
To specifically reach 18 to 34-year-olds with a Rethink Church message.
Wow.
It's a lot of churches, the church that I go to is becoming very gray, that it was...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Very good, Steve.
That was God.
But not you, Joe.
No. I have some gray. People who moved into this...
formula.
I don't. People who moved into this neighborhood are still there, and so their children have moved on and moved further out, away from the suburbs. So
you know, I see some churches targeting children with promotional products, actually. One of my daughters was going to a Sunday school with a friend, and they would give her incentives for coming back.
Wow.
And she actually, what?
Like stickers? Like Jesus
well,
stickers
or
something?
Well, she got to earn stuff for the church store.
Oh,
and
cool.
And then on her last day of the season last year, she went in and she got a fish bowl and two fish.
Ooh.
And it was for perfect attendance.
Jesus fish.
I guess. And,
well,
you know,
miracles.
Still, and it's funny because they said that the fish have a very low, short lifespan, and it's been a year and a half, and they're still...
They've
around.
Been blessed.
They're God's fishes. God's fishes.
So there you have it. But
anyway, it's a good thing. Churches
seem to be a good tactic.
Yeah, Catholic
churches
closing archdioceses all over the place, and in Jersey and Philadelphia, schools and churches are closing because the people just aren't coming.
On that note, I think it's time for your rant. So if you can switch from churches and religion to being angry.
Oh my! Yeah, I got a beef with Andy Cohen right now. No, actually, I don't.
I'm just trying to keep it together after Steve Hawkins laid down the sound.
Actually, you know, I'm going back to sports parents, and I'm sorry this happened Sunday.
God.
Yeah, listen. And this is to the unnamed man who speak to me on the sidelines of a tryout. Your 8-year-old daughter does not need to play soccer year-round, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. She's not going to get a college scholarship. If she's that good, they'll eventually find her where she's 12 years old. So, parents, calm down.
So, Joe, she's terrible, this girl?
No, she's not terrible. She's eight. She's eight.
What I say is 8-year-olds don't need to
play year-round soccer.
Well, that Tiger Woods, wasn't he like 3 or 4 when he started playing golf?
Well, I know, and everyone says, you know, what a great thing. Everyone looks at him now. I mean, he is a great golfer, but it's kind of creepy that his dad, you know, basically gluing a golf club to his hand when he's 3 years old.
Well, I did see on 2020 last week they showed parents who were too into their kids' sports, and they had a 4-year-old wrestling tournament where the dad was videotaping the son and then screaming at him and replaying it and showing him where he went wrong.
Well, he went wrong.
And the kid was crying.
Crying, of course.
And he comes off the bat, he's crying when he loses because of the pressure from his dad. And
yeah, that's a little
You know how many athletes, high school athletes get college scholarships, full college rides?
Not that many.
Less than 1%. And imagine all the kids that are out there playing soccer right now. How many of these kids are going to get full scholarships?
Well, it's just parents living vicariously.
I know. Idiots.
Yep.
Well, on that note, we want to thank everyone for listening today. We'd also like to thank today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Be sure to tune in same time, same place next week when we can talk about how to double your apparel sales. Michelle?
Oh, I want to give a special shout out to Michael Bernstein. Happy birthday, Michael.
And notice how the tenor of her voice changed when she just said
I know. Yeah. The CEO of Poly Concept.
Have a great week.